Rachel goes to the doorway and confronts a sandy-haired monk in white cassock standing under the yew trees. The man has an open countenance of broad jaw, a prow-like nose, and cheeks as angular as a cat's. At the sight of her, he gapes with shock and clutches a yew branch to keep from falling. Phalan takes steps to help him, and the monk waves him off and approaches, bent over with astonishment.
"Grandman, is this truly you? It is I, Thomas."
Thomas Chalandon, Rachel hurriedly recalls, Claire and Gerald's youngest. This is the young man whom Elena has sworn Rachel to discourage from living the feckless life of a priest. Rachel exits from the crypt, offers her hand, afraid to embrace him lest he feel the wallet of gems.
"Forgive me, Thomas, for not showing all the joy I feel at seeing you again."
"Grandmère!"
He kisses her signet ring, then peers into her face with the expression of an astonished child.
"Forgive me. The abbot told me of the miracle that changed you. Still, I...
Tears glisten in his eyes, and he falls to his knees and clutches at her robe.
"Dearest Thomas," she says, and strokes his feathery hair. "You were still a boy when I saw you last. You were only 11, and now look at you."
She puts her hands on his shoulders and persuades him to stand.
"You were always such a sweet child. I remember you making chaplets of flowers and crying over a dead bird."
Thomas blinks away tears.
"It is you. You've been touched by God. I don't know what to say." "Say a prayer here with me for Dun,"
Rachel suggests. They kneel on the stone step of the crypt, and Thomas intones a prayer of petition to the Blessed Virgin. While he prays, eyes downcast, Rachel studies him, unable to look away, curiously intrigued by his forlorn beauty. When he is done, he helps her rise and offers to pray with her in the crypt for Gilbert.
"No, walk with me instead. I wish to talk with you. I am concerned about your becoming a monk." "Concerned? Actually, I am angry, Thomas."
Rachel tries to muster the outrage the Baroness would want her to feel.
"You are not a monk." "You're right, I am not yet a monk,"
he sighs and takes her arm.
"I am only an acolyte. I have not yet felt worthy of tonsure. But why are you angry that I choose this life? You who have seen God's face."
Rachel signs for Phalan to lock the crypt and leads Thomas away from the lich gate toward the far end of the cemetery, where the round-edged stone crosses end before the sheen of a hill.
"The priesthood is not your calling, and that is why I am angry. You were always a spirited boy. In fact, I seem to recall you were a little pagan. We were constantly sending the servants to retrieve you from the woods. I cannot think this Thomas that I remember so well would wish to sequester himself from the world that gave him so much pleasure. It is not your calling, is it? Tell me the truth." "I love our Saviour, Grandmère, but I admit I am no good at ritual. I would rather spend my time tending the garden or just sitting in contemplation on the hillside, watching God shepherd the clouds."
For an instant, Rachel feels a sharp nostalgia for her own childhood rise up in her. The summery days when she sat alone among ruins in her secret place, watching the clouds fit themselves to the wind, and the irremediable longing makes her shiver.
"Are you cold?"
Thomas asks. Rachel pulls her tunic tighter about her.
"A little. You must still be shocked from losing Dun. We shall get you back to the chapel, where you can rest and mourn properly."
Rachel shakes her head.
"I have mourned enough."
She releases Thomas's arm and strides quickly to the top of the hill. Mortality wafts through her. Dun's death not a full day behind her, and the jewels of her future hard against her stomach. So much has been lost to bring her to the gain of this moment. She is afraid to look into the vigilant face of this angel, afraid she will despise herself again. From the hill crest, she faces the lavender morning, mists pairing among the hills, lifting from the silver threads of streams and rivulets. A heavy, wordless weight rests on her lungs. She dreads that Dun's death was not an accident, that Thierry's shove had not been a riding blunder, but murderous intent.